Hey y'all, it's Nan, and that's Christopher, and this is Melrose Sheltering in Place.
Hey there. How's it going?
Just chilling.
Right on. I have some interesting news for us. By the time this airs, we might have some new listeners. Tej from Melrose Place Cast sent me a screenshot from the Melrose Place podcast Facebook group, and somebody had turned on their Spotify, and Melrose Sheltering in Place showed up in their suggestions. And they
Oh.
said, "Has anybody else ever heard of this show?" And, at least one person there was like, "Oh, I'll check it out." But that Facebook group has like 360 people in it, so
Oh, wow.
we could potentially double or triple our listener base to like 12 or 18.
Big
Yeah.
time, big shot.
So if you're new and you're here because of the Melrose Place podcast Facebook group, welcome. We're glad you're here.
Yeah. And you're probably wondering why we're talking about this so much later than it happened, and that's because we don't post in a timely fashion, so.
No. And this is like probably the most egregious example of that ever. So like but that's fine because you know what? We don't do this like it's a job. We do this for fun. And so when life gets in the way, we just let it because we are enjoying ourselves and not after any kind of high standard or self-improvement at all.
Exactly.
Like Nan's lucky if I change my background. I did. I found this I think it's a notebook, a Melrose Place notebook. But what was really funny is the company that made it is called Panini, like the sandwich.
Oh, that's
And
weird.
so at first when I saw the listing on Etsy, I was like, is this some kind of a sandwich box? I don't know. But no, it's a notebook. But everybody looks fantastic on it. I guess they took that picture before Heather Locklear joined.
Yeah, it does look like season one, Michael and Jane
Yeah.
situation.
Oh yeah, for sure. Where they're still together. Although that opening shot of them in the pool hall that was not Shooters lasted well into season two, maybe even the whole season two. I swear. What other news? Oh yes, I should warn people, we might get interrupted, and if we do, we're probably going to leave it in because, that's how we are. I got a dog.
Yay.
Yesterday we went to a poodle breeder and it was awesome because she has like seven of her own. And so we got to hang out with like eight poodles and bring one of them home.
Oh, that sounds nice.
Yeah. So he's a standard poodle. He hasn't had his first haircut yet, so he's very fluffy. And his name is Tuvix, which is a reference to one of the most outrageously bad episodes of Star Trek Voyager. And everybody knows I love bad Star Trek stuff. I have two bad Star Trek tattoos. So now I have a bad Star Trek dog as well.
Nice. I love it.
Yeah.
Speaking of tattoos, Sean and I got we got matching tattoos for our wedding anniversary since
Nice.
last time that we talked. And they turned out really nice.
How many years?
11.
Wow. Is that the traditional 11th anniversary gift?
Well, we had planned to do it on our 10th wedding anniversary, but that was still like kind of when COVID was more lockdown-y.
Yeah.
So
And I just saw in my Facebook memories, like in the last couple of weeks, my first shot. So you might not have even had any shots yet.
yeah, I think I was just getting like my second shot a few days before our wedding anniversary. But I was kind of early. I got to get it kind of earlier than a lot of people just because like my spouse works for a hospital. So he
Okay.
had the tip on like, sign up now, do, 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 you know. But that definitely was like the very beginning phase of people getting their shots.
Yeah, we were able to get ours a little bit early because, well, we're fat.
Well, that was my reason to be able to get in there, but like I would not have been on top of like like signing up for the time slot or whatever.
Yeah. And we it wasn't super early for us. Like we ended up just getting it like a week early, 'cause what they did was they kind of changed the wording. And so a comorbidity became a primary reason for like 1 week. And so we're like, let's go. Speaking of which, I want my second booster. We need to schedule that. We were kind of putting it off because we thought we might do like some kind of trip this week because Garrett's 50th birthday is coming up. So what was originally going to be a trip to Australia is now me here with the dog while he goes out for a couple of days without his phone or
Oh,
computer.
yeah.
Like he got a burner phone. He wants to have like a technology-free road trip.
Nice.
Yeah. So he's just gonna drive around. That's a little spontaneous for me, so I'm glad I'm not going. Because like I don't even know what is he gonna do without stuff. Like, because I don't know if you've stayed in a hotel or anything recently, but the hotel TV choices are not good.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of enjoy like watching not good TV in a hotel room, but that's like a weird quirk. But yeah,
My
I
favorite
feel
version of
you.
that is if I go to Canada, I like to find curling on the TV.
Oh yeah, I can see that
Yeah.
being a good time.
I mean, curling is just so hypnotic and fun to watch. It's the only sport I like to watch. Well,
Oh, my new dog came in here to say
oh,
hello.
hi,
He's on
another
the
white
floor.
dog.
Yeah.
Yeah. Although I guess Tuvix is kind of more of a cream color and he has really yellow ears. But he's a good boy. Yeah, and the only bad thing that's happened so far is he puked inside, but thankfully it was on fake hardwood floor. So,
Oh, that works.
yeah. So he's all good.
Well, yesterday we left Ghost alone in the
Oh.
house, loose, alone in the house, but his siblings were here, but they go in their crates. And we did a record length of basically like 2 hours, and then I came home for 5 minutes, and then I left again, and we were gone for at least 3 hours.
Wow.
So, and he didn't destroy anything.
Nice.
He was very excited when he got home, very hyper. So he definitely like I could tell that he felt some feelings, but he did a good job. So we're
Aw, now,
making progress on that problem.
is he still a foster or are you a foster
No,
fail?
we officially have foster failed.
Aw, well, that's nice. He seems like a
They started
sweetie.
talking about people to adopt him, and I was like, I don't want him to feel like he just gets moved from house to house. And yeah.
That's sweet. We're lucky because there were supposed to be two dogs for us to choose from. And we were like, oh, but what about the other dog? And how do we possibly choose which one? But thankfully, someone took the other one before we got
Oh,
there. So
nice.
not only did we not have to choose, but we also didn't have to like try to not talk ourselves out of buying both.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's always. Yeah, that's always the real problem.
Especially because he was not cheap. Yeah, we never really pictured ourselves getting like a purebred dog, but then we realized you kind of have to if you want to have that hypoallergenic experience.
All right.
I mean, there's rescues, but pickings are slim on the poodle rescue pages, and they're all,
Mixes.
yeah, you know. Malty poodles and golden doodles and zucchini noodles and whatever else.
Yeah. Well, congratulations.
Thank
Dogs are the
you.
best.
Thank you. It's not social media official yet because Garrett's mom has no idea.
Oh, yeah.
But obviously we have time before anybody hears this, so that's totally safe to talk about.
Cool. Does Garrett's mom listen to the
No.
podcast?
You know what's funny is like I was about to say she probably couldn't listen to a podcast to save her life, but I would not be surprised if her Xfinity TV remote, I bet you could tell it to play a podcast and it might do it because it's pretty good at like stuff like that. And she, you know, she knows how to use Hulu. She has a profile on my account on Hulu so that she can watch the new Kardashian show. That's like she's like, I need Hulu. Do you have that? I'm like, yeah, why? Kardashians are back.
Yeah, people keep trying to get me into that, and I just can't seem to bring myself to do it. But
Yeah, I'm not gonna. I have really. So one time, a long time ago, we used to have this TV that was pretty amazing, and we got it used from a friend, and they like gave us a friend price, and it had 8 HDMI ports, which is unheard of. But anyway, I was making dinner, and Garrett had been watching something, and it ended, and the Kardashians started, and I was like, I don't want to listen to that. Can you please change it? And so, let all smart alecky, he goes, I'm sorry, did you say to turn it up? And I'm like, so I just walked in there and I unplugged it, and that destroyed the TV. Like, apparently, it's a really bad for modern TVs to be unplugged when they're in use. So never do that.
Oh, weird.
Because you might lose an amazing big TV with 8 HDMI ports.
Damn, that sounds awful.
Yeah, it sucked. But anyway, it wasn't my fault. So shall we jump in?
Let's do it.
I'm gonna say that season 4, episode 16 has got to be one of my favorite episode names ever.
Oh, yeah.
It's called Holy Strokes. Are you in the sheet? I don't see your icon.
I am in the sheet.
That's weird. Can you see like my blue rectangle in the first episode?
I cannot.
That's weird. Oh, are you using the old location? I sent over. I didn't put it in the invitation.
Oh, I might be.
So that could be an issue because it might not have the last episode. So I'm just gonna put this URL in the chat for you. Whoops, almost hit the end button instead of the chat button. That would have been bad. So here this comes. And this is what we were talking about earlier. We're not gonna edit stuff like this out. If you don't like this, then go back to wherever else.
Go back to the super professional
Yeah.
podcast.
There's your icon. I see you.
All right, there I am.
And honestly, I've only listened to one episode of that podcast. And so I'm not sure how super professional it is. It might not be. We are grateful for anybody checking us out if you made it this far. Hopefully you knew better than to start at season one. Anyway, this episode is called Holy Strokes. And it starts with Jake over at Matt's getting some coffee. That's a fun little neighbor moments. And Matt is on the phone trying to get an update about Jane because when we last left off, she had powerful tranquilizers put in her champagne by her sister. The gay actor Matt has been seeing, and we, I swear, have not heard his name yet. So I'm going to call him the gay actor until they say his name. He emerges from the bedroom with his shirt unbuttoned, and he offers to make omelets. Jay is uncomfortable, or sorry, Jake is uncomfortable. Like maybe they're going to start having sex in front of him or something. So he gets out of there in a hurry. Matt tells the gay actor that Jane lives across the courtyard and is nice, but has a mixed up life. Gay actor says, last night was great. And he runs out to an audition. Excuse me. Brooke and Billy meet with her uncle Norman about the details of her baby that doesn't exist, inheritance. And after Billy leaves, Brooke asks if she still gets the money if there's no baby. He says no, and she confesses that she's not pregnant. He tells her to get pregnant as fast as possible, or the money stays in the bank, as if it's worth it to have a kid just so that that kid can have $1 million later in life. Like, I don't understand this, how she thinks she's going to get the money from the baby.
Yeah, I don't really understand either. I was like, am I missing something about the way this works? But yeah.
Yeah, it's a trust. It's not gonna kick in until she can't possibly get it from him or her or them. So why bother? I don't see the point. Also, it's so funny those things being called trusts because they only happen when there's no trust involved whatsoever, right?
Right.
Over at D&D, Billy tells Allison a client loved their storyboards, but she's nonplussed. He points out that she's been cold to him lately, and she says that they have separate lives now. An office dude tells Billy he's supposed to meet Brooke at the hospital, and he gets a spot right across from the emergency entrance, and Brooke's outside to tell him that she lost the pretend baby. And Andrew Shue's terrible face acting makes it unclear how he feels about that. Andrew Shue is not a good actor.
Yeah, it's like he's just, it's like he's never been good, right? But like, it's like he's just given up at this point.
And we're only halfway through the series, so I can't imagine it's ever gonna get any better, and
Well,
probably
he leaves
worse.
at some point because, like, I don't remember how I learned this, but Michael's the only actor that stays on for the whole series.
Oh, really? I thought that he was the only one who was on through that and the reboot. I didn't realize there was going to be quite a exodus in this original seven. Interesting. I'm going to try not to find out anything about it though.
I'm sorry if that was a spoiler, but
kind of. Anyway, it's bound to happen on a show that's 30 years old, right?
true.
Okay, the next morning, Brooke says that she wants to get pregnant immediately. And he wonders if they need time to regroup, and he also looks super suspicious. Allison brings flowers over, but Brooke is still a huge bitch to her. Billy follows her out and confesses that he's suspicious of Brooke. Over drinks at Shooters, Matt finally says the gay actor's name. It's Alan. Alan says a friend of his in New York City has room for him, and he wants to go there and do some stage work. Matt is bummed, but Alan says that they should enjoy this time that they have and bone. And I'm trying to zoom because I'm having a little bit of a hard time reading it. That's better. Okay, Billy fiddles with a teddy bear that was for the baby until Brooke calls him into the bedroom so that they can make a new one. She says she's ovulating, but he says it doesn't feel right to try again already. Which I would understand maybe if there was a true miscarriage, but if she was just confused, like, go for it, right?
Yeah,
Anyway.
well, yeah.
Like, but also, even if she had a miscarriage, if she's like saying she's ready, like you could believe her. She's ready for $1 million. But anyway, she yells at him for being supposedly angry with her for losing the fake baby and screams at him to leave the room. Sydney goes to the chapel at Wilshire Memorial to ask God to let Jane live. Kimberly makes a very dramatic entrance and asks her if she'd like to confess anything. She reminds Sydney that doctor-patient confidentiality means that she can tell her anything, but if she's kept in the dark, she'll have to tell the authorities if they ask about a tranquilizer prescription. And I'm really not sure what parts of that are true and aren't, but anyway. Sydney confesses and breaks down, and Kimberly reassures her that everything will be all right. Because we know when these two work together, amazing things happen. Amanda arrives at Peter's office with croissant in time to hear him cussing someone out over the phone. He's being sued by a former patient, but Amanda just wants to talk about their New Year's party. Mainly, she's mad that she's not getting any attention. Michael tells Jane that she had a mild stroke. She remembers going upstairs with him at the party, but he assures her that they didn't bone. And you know, now that I think about it, she's probably better off having a stroke than having sex with him. But anyway, she can't feel. So he's doing the little tests, the sensitivity tests, and he has that little spiky wheel thing. I don't know what that's called. But she can't feel it on the bottom of her foot or her legs at all. Kimberly gives Sydney three pills to replace the ones that she gave Jane and tells her to become Jane's perfect caregiver to throw her off the scent. In a meeting with Bobby, Amanda tells him she's annoyed with Peter. He invites her to his Palm Springs place for New Year's Eve, but she says it's a bad idea unless it's a double date. So she offers up Allison as Bobby's date.
It was so random.
Yeah, like how did she come up with that? Like she should have known better after how bad it went that time when she and Billy and Allison went to that cabin and went water skiing. That was a terrible trip. Jane's toxicology report arrives at Michael and Peter's office via fax. Michael confronts Sydney when she arrives and pulls the bottle of pills out of her purse. But just like Kimberly planned for, he finds the right amount of pills in the bottle. Sydney tells Michael it's time to rally around Jane and support her, and he wonders aloud if Kimberly's behind everything. Jake brings Jane flowers in the hospital and finds a sketch she tried an hour to make, but couldn't even finish. He reminds her that the only way that she'll ever get better is if she believes in herself. They hug, and she cries on his shoulder, and at this point, I became convinced that they will bone at some point. Michael confronts Kimberly because she hasn't returned his calls. He thinks that she masterminded Jane's demise, which she denies, but and then reminds him that she can't talk about Sydney's treatment anyway. So now it's New Year's Eve. Billy goes to the hospital to ask about the miscarriage, but the doctor tells him that there was a mix-up and Brooke was never pregnant. He goes to the New Year's Eve party at Shooter's to confront Brooke and pulls her out to the alley. Surprisingly, Joe's not out there having sex by the dumpster. Is she even in this episode? He completely loses it and says their sham of a marriage is over. Bobby and Peter enjoy some scotch, and Bobby offers his lawyers to help with Peter's legal troubles. Amanda wants the men to join the women outside, but Peter drunkenly asks Amanda to take a shower with him instead. Bobby joins Allison outside, and she wonders if it was a mistake to come out so soon after Haley's death. Amanda dresses in lingerie and climbs onto Peter, asking him to show her how big a man he can be. Michael and Sydney bring Jane to the beach house to recover. Michael turns on the TV so they can watch the ball drop, and picks Jane up to transfer her to the couch. They fall onto it, and Sydney interrupts their awkward moment for help finding blankets and pillows. Sydney accuses Michael of moving Jane to the beach house so that he can bone her. Peter pretends to pass out after boning Amanda, and she sneaks out to the pool in her lingerie and flimsy robe. Bobby appears and tells her he loves her so much it's tearing him apart. Fireworks go off above, and Peter watches from the window as Bobby kisses Amanda. Allison opens the window in the morning and sees Billy outside asleep in his car. He was able to find them because Amanda always leaves forwarding addresses on her voicemail. He tells her what happened with Brooke and that he's leaving her for real, for good. She says he should go back, but he's too tired, so she offers to drive him home. Sydney freaks out in Kimberly's office about Jane being at the beach house. She's at least grateful that Jane's convinced Richard and Joe didn't, or spiked her drink. That's the story she's trying to push, is that it was Richard and Joe. So at least they get a mention in this episode that they aren't on. Sydney says she would have been better off if Jane died, and Kimberly admonishes her swiftly. Matt drops Alan off at LAX and offers to escort him to the gate, but Alan says not to worry about it. They have a tearful goodbye, and Matt runs over and asks Alan to stay and move in with him. Alan says he'd hoped all along that Matt would ask and agrees to stay, and I think that there was no job in New York, and that was all made up, because otherwise he would have just said, yeah, come to the gate.
Oh, yeah. So you think he was just going to stay in LA and not go to New York at all?
Yeah, I think he was going to just, you know, kind of locally disappear.
Oh, I hadn't even thought about that, but that makes sense.
Yeah. So I think he was trying to, like, force Matt's hand. Amanda calls Peter at the office. He doesn't pick up, and she leaves a message wondering why he left Palm Springs without saying goodbye. Bobby arrives with paperwork. He paid off the person who was suing Peter. Peter punches Bobby, but Bobby just picks up the paperwork. He tells Peter that was a mistake, and if he ever does it again, it'll be his last. Allison and Billy arrive at Melrose Place after spending all of New Year's Day together. He finds a note on the desk, the phone off the hook, and Brooke on the bathroom floor with her wrists slit. And that's the end of that episode.
My God.
I have to wonder if she, like, waited by the window until she saw him in the courtyard.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, that was pretty good timing, if you ask me.
Yeah. Definitely fishy.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't feel like she would want to actually kill herself.
No, she's just super manipulative. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, no, you go ahead.
All right. So before we get into this next episode, I just wanted to explain something that people probably never even notice, which is that, I mean, we've talked about it, but I try to divide up the synopses between the two main groups of people that always happen on this show. That way we're not jumping back and forth among people so much. But on this episode, number 17, The Brook Stops Here, they've finally mixed up the groups enough that it made it impossible. There's too much overlap. And this is because of Jane being moved into the beach house primarily. So apologies. I was able to mix up or rearrange some of the things that happened so that we talk about the same people in bigger chunks. But there is a lot more switching back and forth than we're used to. Mm-hmm. So hopefully one day Jane will, you know, get her independence back and maybe switch over to the other group because she'll start boning Jake. And then we'll have two solid groups again, because it's just easier. But
yeah.
But we'll see. You know, whoever knew that Jane could ruin even an outline? She ruins so much. No, just kidding. She's not as bad as she used to be.
And she's back to the pixie cut, sadly.
Yeah, that's terrible. Although I guess it helps if she's going to be like 3/4 paralyzed if she doesn't have to comb her hair, right?
I mean, true. Although I guess her arms still work. So,
well, that. I think one of them works, right?
Oh, okay.
I'm not sure.
I was not 100% clear. Yeah. It was, yeah.
I mean, it's so realistic, right? Like, all right. So,
this is episode 17 of season 4, and it's called The Brook Stops Here, which is amazing.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Not as good as Holy Strokes, but.
I don't know. I'm on the fence, yeah. But I feel ya. An ambulance squeals up to Melrose Place to pick Brooke up. Allison brings Billy the suicide note he didn't read, and Brooke wakes up and screams at everyone to just let her die. Billy comes to visit her once she's settled into a room, but she asks him to leave because he already deserted her after she lost her father and the baby she thought she had, which she didn't have. She throws a fit, and then Billy promises he'll never leave her.
Only because she makes him, but...
Yeah, Billy is kind of a weenie like that. Bobby comes to D&D to see Amanda and tell her that Peter punched him. He wants to know if she told Peter what happened in Palm Springs, and she denies it right as Peter calls to set things straight. He also wants to take her and Bobby to dinner. Michael overhears and comes in to tell Peter he's an idiot if he thinks getting friendly with Bobby is the way to Amanda's heart. Alan's moving into Matt's apartment, and Matt asks him for bank info, but he doesn't have any, or a previous address. In the previous episode, when he ran out really fast the morning after they boned, and Matt was like, "You don't have a watch?" I was like, that felt weirdly ominous, even though it's not that strange not to have a watch. Although I guess in the 90s, maybe it was weirder.
You needed a watch back then because you didn't have a cell phone or anything.
Yeah.
By the way, I forgot to hit record on Zoom. I'm going to do that right now. thank you. For those, we use that as a backup, little behind the scenes info, and also I can use it to make promotional materials more easily with our faces in them sometimes, so that's fun.
Totally.
Yeah. All right.
So Allison visits Jane at the beach house, and somehow Joe arrives just in time to hear Jane mention that she and Richard supposedly spiked her drink and are gloating now. Joe challenges her to look her in the eye and say why she really believes Joe could have drugged her, and Jane concedes. But she still wouldn't put anything past Richard, which pisses Joe off. Jane warns Joe that she'll be replaced the next time a new designer comes along. Allison wonders aloud who could hate Jane enough to want to see her dead, and right on cue, Sydney makes a bunch of noise in the kitchen, killing ants. oh my god, and Jane's outfits, I mean not Jane, Sydney's outfits continue to amaze. In that last episode, when they bring Jane home from the hospital and she's in the wheelchair, and Sydney's wearing that outfit with the feathers at the end of the, she looks kind of like, I don't know. It's like, it gave me like an Elaine Stritch vibe or something. But yeah, it was so much is happening with those outfits.
That's pretty great.
Sydney runs to Kimberly's office because she's afraid everyone thinks, oh wait, back at Melrose Place. Nope.
No, you're right.
Sydney runs to Kimberly's office because she's afraid everyone thinks she spiked Jane's drink. She's a little mad that anyone would think that, even though why would everybody not think that? Yeah. But Kimberly points out that she actually did. So there's also that. Kimberly asks if they mentioned anyone else's name. Kimberly implies that there might be a way to frame someone else. Kimberly's hair is terrible. Sydney heads to Hart and Mancini and puts the pills in a baggie in a drawer in Richard's office. Of course. Back at Melrose Place, Billy cleans up Brooke's blood in the bathroom. Allison comes in wanting to talk and admits she misses him now that Haley's gone and that Billy's her soulmate, of course. I mean, this is still going blah, 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 blah.
Maybe that's not the best time to say it.
For real. He's like cleaning up the blood from his wife's suicide attempt.
Like, and Allison's like, what are they going to do? Do it in the blood? Like,
right. I miss you. She says she'll always love him, and he tells her to get out and stay away. Joe looks over headshots of Jane at the office, and Richard wonders if it's a good idea for Joe to visit Jane. He thinks it's time for him and Joe to concentrate on their future, and the company needs to move on from Jane. New designers are coming in for interviews. Joe's suspicious because Richard doesn't want her there for the interviews. Billy comes to D&D to ask Amanda to give Brooke her old job back. She reminds him that Brooke quit and needs to deal with the consequences. He says he's bringing Brooke back to D&D, and if Amanda gets in the way, he'll quit.
I mean, let him.
Like... Yeah, no kidding. Sydney visits Jane at physical therapy to accuse Richard of spiking her drink. She asks Jane to call the police to search Richard's office, but Jane says she'll deal with it in her own time. Impatient, Sydney calls the police to tip them off. Bobby brings Brooke back to Melrose Place and lies, saying Amanda wants her back at D&D. She scares the hell out of Billy by heading straight to the bathroom, but she assures him she won't kill herself that day. Oh, Monty
and
visits.
I guess that would have actually been Billy, not Bobby. Wow. Good job, Christopher.
Oh, yeah. I totally missed that
All
somehow,
these
but that makes
stupid
sense.
sound-alike names. They're so bad at this.
Allison, Amanda, Billy, Brooke.
Jake Jane.
Blah, blah, blah. Bobby. Monty visits Jake at Shooter's to let him know he's short on Monty, on money. Also, Monty is such a shifty guy's name. Like, that feels
Totally.
so, like, on the nose.
Totally.
Like, oh, he's a scam artist. Let's name him Monty. To let him know he's short on the money he owes him. Jake asks how much, but Monty's calling in a favor instead. He wants Jake to get $235 that someone owes him that he has in his till. Jake says he's not anyone's strong arm, and Lonnie threatens to sell the bar if he won't do it.
So sorry, that is Monty. I misheard it at first, thinking it was Lonnie. When I discovered it was Monty, I thought I fixed all of those instances of the name Lonnie, but I missed one. God.
Kimberly visits Matt's apartment to welcome Alan to the building and manages to find a way to bring up what happened with Paul. She says Matt's a little gun shy about relationships, no pun intended. Matt arrives and Alan, clearly petrified, runs off to an imaginary audition. Kimberly suggests couples therapy. Amanda, Peter, and Bobby have dinner at Montezino's, the only nice restaurant in Los Angeles. Peter tells them he saw them kissing in Palm Springs and says Amanda's his. Bobby throws some money on the table and leaves, and Amanda says she's not Peter's property and leaves too. Alan sucks sulks back into Matt's apartment and the following morning and confesses he was out all night because he's having second thoughts about what Kimberly told him. Matt says not to listen to Kimberly because she's the local maniac, but doesn't mention that she blew the place up. When Matt control contorts confronts oh confronts
That's my fault too.
Alan about his mysterious past, he says he used to be the companion of Beverly Hills of a Beverly Hills banker. Matt asks if he was a gigolo, but it was more like he was a sugar daddy. Jake heads to dinner to shake the owner down for Monty, but the dude fights back. He tells Jake to take the money, but Jake leaves. Joe runs into Richard and a candidate for the design position, who is of course super hot. They exchange a little banter, and Joe says she has a headache. So Richard says he has aspirin in the top drawer behind his desk. She finds the bag of tranquilizers.
Yeah, that'll take care of that headache.
Dun dun dun. Jake finds Billy kicking the pinball machine at Shooter's and offers to buy him a beer. Jake reassures Billy that what Brooke did isn't his fault. They have a confrontational discussion about Brooke and Joe, which leaves both of them pissed off. Sydney heads to the police station, but the detective assures her that they checked Richard and out and didn't find anything. She implies that there could be new evidence, maybe in his office, and the detective asks if she planted any. She's shocked, but he says he's just trying to defuse the pressure with humor. Funny enough, he says the case is closed unless there's hard evidence, and Sydney asks fingerprints, not knowing that Joe just had her hands all over the baggie of tranquilizers. Brooke comes out to Billy in a sexy nightie, which matches the bandages on her wrists. She wants him to bone her, and he tries to get back to work, but she seduces him, guessing her diaphragm isn't in. Michael sneaks out into the living room to join Jane in bed and tries to go down on her from behind, and she smashes a vase over his head. In her rage, she admits she was using him to make Richard jealous. Sydney emerges from the bedroom and says Michael's seducing her. If Jane wants him, if she doesn't, it's rape. Michael gets dressed to leave and says he's moving out. Billy and Brooke arrive at D&D, and Amanda immediately pulls Billy aside to talk to him. Brooke goes to her office and finds Allison working there and accuses him of trying to steal her clients, but Allison assures her that she was asked to service them in her absence. She yells at Allison, who storms out. Bobby comes into Shooter's and orders a beer while he waits for Amanda, who's supposed to meet him there. Monty comes in for the money, and Jake tries to give him $235 out of his own till, but Monty talked to the guy and knows Jake didn't collect. Jake says he wants out of Monty's operation, but Monty says he's in deep and 2 weeks of interest is due the next day. Bobby overhears everything. Kimberly finds Michael asleep in the on-call room and sexily recalls how they used to bone there while she changes her clothes. She says there was something dark between them and it would be bad for them to ever try again, but in a sexy, seductive way to ensure that he knows it's possible. Why does everybody keep trying to get with Michael?
Well, he is a better choice, physically speaking, than Andrew Shue, at least, right? Like, I think he's the best looking guy on the show since Dr. Levin left.
I mean, I know that you had a thing for Dr. Levin. I think I'm a sucker and just think Jake is the best looking guy on the show, even though that's like really basic. Joe finds Jake in the storeroom at Shooter's and shows him the tranquilizers. She's co convinced that Richard spiked Jane's drink trying to kill her. He asks what she plans to do about it, and she says she doesn't know. He'll support her no matter what, but whatever she does, she has to do it herself. Amanda sits in silence in her apartment. Bobby knocks on the door and wonders why Amanda never showed up at Shooter's, and she asks him to confirm whether he agrees with Peter that she has to choose between the two of them. He says she should choose Peter, but she says she'll keep to herself for a while. She says if she ever needs anything, he's there for her. They kiss and bone. And that's the episode.
Okay, you froze for a sec, but I didn't talk, so it should be fine.
Yeah, it should be fine. And everyone's going to know that now. But yes, all I said was I read the rest of that section and then I said that's the end of the episode. And then there was like a pause. So it works.
Nice, go us. All right, season 4, episode 18, back to crappy, boring names that make no sense. This one's called Sydney. Bothered and bewildered. If that's a reference to something, I have no idea what.
I have no idea.
And once again, this is another one where it's just everyone all mixed together because frickin' Jane ruined our outlines. Jane is rightfully annoyed at the beach house as Sydney hasn't charged the battery on her wheelchair and is pretty rough with her as she pushes it around. A truck speeds down the alley, and Sydney sees her opportunity and pushes Jane in front of it. But it was just a fantasy. And this is a long time ago when I was looking for Melrose Place gifts. I saw a gif of this, and I knew I've known for a long time that Jane would end up in a wheelchair. It's kind of a bummer to find out that it was just a fantasy, though, because that was a pretty funny scene. Amanda gives Bobby a more professional haircut in the kitchen the morning after they boned. And by more professional, I just mean less of a mullet.
Yeah, less in the back.
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of mullets, another thing that I've noticed, at least in a couple of these episodes, is like how the back of Billy's hair will be all sticking out a lot. Like, I don't know. It's like like such a random detail, but I'm like, bro, get your mullet under control.
Really, I mean, he and Amanda are still kind of friends. She could cut it for him.
No.
Yeah. Bobby asks if something's bothering her, and she says that she's thinking about Peter. Bobby offers to talk to him, but Amanda says she'll do it. Brooke confronts Allison in the mail area at Melrose Place because her newspaper has been stolen 3 times so far that week, and we all know that it was definitely Amanda doing that because she does that. Brooke's clearly upset, and Allison offers to talk. Brooke says she wakes up every day feeling left out in the cold because Haley's gone and Billy's so distant. She's jealous of how easy a time Allison had attracting Billy, and Allison suggests that she should try being nicer. Brooke acknowledges that she's reflexively bitchy. Allison offers to help her with her reports at work and gives her her newspaper. It's kind of a nice moment. And I can't believe that she didn't fly off the handle when Allison said she should be nicer. Michael and Kimberly frolic on the beach and start to bone. But again, it's just a dream, and Michael is humping his pillow. He's staying at Peter's, and Michael is convinced that the house is haunted by Kimberly, even though she's not dead. Amanda arrives to talk to Peter about Bobby, and she admits that she's in love with him, and Peter tells her to go to hell. Matt calls Joe over to talk about the pills she found in Richard's office, and Matt wonders if Joe is the one that spiked Jane's drink. She reminds him it hasn't been long since false accusations were brought against him, so he asks who she thinks did it, and if it was Richard. Jane's batteries somehow got charged as she's by herself at the hospital to see a doctor about a second opinion. She's frustrated because physical therapy doesn't seem to be working, but he reminds her it takes a long time. She angrily says doctors don't understand the patient point of view, and he rolls out from behind the desk, also in a wheelchair. She apologizes. He should apologize for his mullet.
This was definitely the age of mullets.
Yeah, for sure. But like Hollywood mullets.
Yeah.
Like, you know, business in the front and cocktail party in the back.
Yeah, exactly.
Jane goes to the hallway to make a phone call, and Jake is there to see how she's doing. She's convinced Richard did it, and Jane says she needs to let go of all that and concentrate on her recovery. She chews him out, but apologizes, and he leaves. Joe comes to Shooters to tell Jake that she had the pills analyzed, because apparently she's like on the Scooby-Doo team and everybody can just do that. She had the pills analyzed, and Jake offers to confront Richard right as he arrives. Jake accuses Richard of spiking Jane's drink, and Joe tries to get him to leave. He asks what's going on, and Joe admits that she found pills in his drawer that matched the ones that Jane was spiked with. Richard leaves, and Jake says they need to go to the police. Joe goes to Richard's office to apologize about bringing Jake into the situation, and he still can't believe that she thinks he did it. Like, it's so funny that she apologizes for bringing Jake in, but she still thinks he's guilty. Like, why bother apologizing? He can't explain the pills, but says that she can go ahead and call the police if she wants to, because that's what an innocent person says. Richard brings Kimberly a nightie that he found in her room at Peter's and asks for her help getting Sydney and Jane out of his house. Kimberly says it's the perfect solution, that his first ex-wife, who's now his mistress, is being taken care of by his second ex-wife, who's now his girlfriend. And his current wife had the idea. That was an amazing turn of phrase. Kudos, Melrose Place writers. Sydney arrives to ask Michael when he's coming home. And he says not until Jane leaves. And if she doesn't, he'll evict both of them. He leaves, and Sydney asks what she should do, and she says Sydney and Jane should move out of the beach house. Kimberly says to move Jane into a convalescent home. Back at her office, she gets an estimate from one and decides the best way to pay for it is with Peter's help, which he should be happy to offer since it'll get Michael out of his house. Over at D&D, by the way, Jane still has an apartment.
Yeah, I guess they feel like she can't be alone because she can't take care of herself.
But I think that Sydney could just go to Jane's apartment with her.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Over at D&D, Billy tells Allison to stop helping Brooke so much with her work. She says she doesn't mind working late because her nights are lonely anyway. Brooke sees them talking from her office and seethes with jealousy. Billy helps carry a big box of files to Allison's apartment, and they find that the place has been trashed, including lipstick graffiti like slut and lying bitch. The only picture she had of herself and Haley is destroyed. Allison says Brooke needs help, but Billy says she's playing into Brooke's games. He admits that he should have married Allison. But remember, he tried, and Allison's the one who left, so it's not really his fault. Anyway, Bobby finds Peter on the golf course to get him to sign paperwork that'll make the malpractice suit against him disappear. Peter correctly guesses that Bobby set him up from the beginning in order to get Amanda. Which I don't understand how Bobby found someone to sue Peter. But anyway, Peter waits at Amanda's car to tell Bobby that Peter threatened him in order to keep them apart. And he says she's on her own. Alan comes to Matt's apartment and pops a bottle of champagne, which spills on Matt's homework. He got an acting gig and wants to celebrate, but Matt has an exam the next day. Alan pouts, so he says that they'll go out after one more hour of studying. Sydney wheels into Shooter, or sorry, Sydney wheels Jane into Shooter's and ditches her there. Jake brings her a beer and sits with her, and she sort of apologizes for her temper at the hospital. By the way, I'm not sure if stroke patients who still can't move should be drinking. Any doctors listening, let us know. Jake and Jane kind of flirt, and even though I said it before, my official prediction is that they will bone again, or sorry, they will bone before she can walk again. I'm saying it right now. There's going to be a time when he lifts her out of a wheelchair and onto a bed, and they do it. Sydney tours a convalescent home and asks if it could be any cheaper than $1,000 a month. He says with a roommate and no window, it could be 850. And by flirting with the dude, she talks him down to 650. By the way, I think it is completely illegal to have anybody live anywhere with no window because of fire codes. But
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
yeah. She heads to Peter's to tell him she can pay $400 a month if he can do 250, and he agrees as long as she gets Michael out of his house immediately. And wasn't there something where Sydney was collecting like about $400 a month under the table from somebody for something?
I feel like that's right. Was it from Michael?
Maybe. Like maybe he said, if
I
you,
mean, like, she's extorted so many people.
yeah.
Or attempted to extort so many people.
Maybe it was Michael saying, if you keep an eye on Peter for me and report back, I'll give you $400 a month. Because that's all anybody ever asks of anybody is to spy. Anyway, she promises Michael they can bone at the beach house if he moves there the next day. Billy confronts Brooke over Allison's trashed apartment, and Brooke flips out and starts trashing theirs. He says he can't live like this anymore and leaves, but Brooke yells out the door that he's her husband for the rest of his life. And she should be careful with talk like that because the reverse is also true. If she were to die, it could be over as well. Richard waits at Joe's car and says his battery's dead and that he needs a ride. She says she hasn't gone to the police and won't, and apologizes. But Richard says Jane's impossible to deal with, and he certainly had thoughts like that, but would never do anything about it. She admits that she's fallen deeply in love with him, and they go to her place to bone. And I still think she's an idiot for not getting with Steve from Microcomp, the billionaire. Peter goes to Alicia Barnett's office, remember her, the lawyer, to bring her signed settlement papers and to snoop around and to ask her out. She goes to Shooter's and runs into Matt while looking for Jake. She's there to let Jake know that Monty sold his illegal loan and her client took it over legally. She won't say who it is, but says Jake should consider himself lucky. Sydney brings Jane to the convalescent home, but Jane refuses to stay and rolls away. Over at the beach house, Sydney ditches Jane on the beach so that she can have dinner alone with Michael. After dinner, Sydney breaks the news that Jane hasn't signed the nursing home forms yet. She tries to initiate a good bone sesh, but Jake arrives to see Jane, and Sydney has to admit that she's out on the beach. Jake finds that the tide has come up to where the wheelchair was, and Jane's struggling in the water.
Oh my God.
He brings her to the beach, and while laying atop her, he angrily declares that he will not let anything happen to Jane except his penis.
Really, I was just thinking about this because there's at the end of Baby Jane, there's like a beach
Oh,
scene. Anyway,
yeah.
I was like, oh my God, they should like lean into the whatever happened to Baby Jane because it's sisters.
Yeah, and her name's Jane.
And her name's Jane, and one of them is like, and Sydney's always been jealous of Jane.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I'm just saying, they should really play that
They
up.
should do like a whole theme episode,
Yes.
like you know how like once in a while Felicity toward the end would have a whole theme episode. It'd be like that. Like you probably haven't watched Felicity, but
I haven't watched that show.
for those who don't know, I have a single topic Tumblr blog called sweatersoffelicity.tumblr.com, where I documented all of the sweaters on that show, which there were a lot of, which was totally unrealistic because she lives in a dorm. There's no way she could have 100 sweaters. Anyway, that brings us to the end of this lovely trio of episodes of Melrose Place. And once again, if you're a new listener, we're so happy you're here because, you know, the more the merrier.
Yeah, welcome. Maybe we'll have like a convening at some point.
You mean like a convention?
Yeah, we could like meet in Las Vegas.
That would be
Pool
great. Yeah, I need pool time.
time.
Real bad, actually. Yeah, that's one thing I haven't redone since the pandemic started was I haven't rejoined the YMCA. Mainly because I have less spending money than I had before the pandemic.
Oh, yeah.
And the YMCA ain't cheap.
Yeah, I still have my membership and I never canceled it during the pandemic, I guess out of hopefulness and just, I don't know, blah, blah, blah. But I got out of the habit of going.
Yeah.
That's my problem.
Yeah, I should probably. Well, and I would like to join a cheaper place that also has a pool, but the problem is those are all kind of far, and the YMCA is like super close. So, you know. Either way, I'm just gonna not do anything
Yeah.
and save that money. We'll see. Who knows? There could be a windfall. That would be great. I'm speaking it into existence. A windfall.
You'll have a baby and you'll get $1 million.
Right. Maybe I could get $1 million for my new puppy. Any other? Other relevant Melrose Place things. Tej also told me, you know, you watch Dynasty sometimes, and Jake is on that.
Oh, yeah.
Apparently, Daphne Zuniga was just a guest, and all of her episode or all of her scenes were with him.
Aw,
So,
reunion.
yeah. So I might have to watch an episode, like I watched an episode of Fantasy Island, just to see them.
Yeah, I kind of fell off the Dynasty because, I mean, it was a little bit much,
Yeah.
even for me. I was like, the show is bananas, but I might have to go find that episode and watch it.
Right on. We started The Gilded Age, which I like a lot.
Oh yeah, I really enjoyed it. I mean, it was kind of silly sometimes, like, how far are you?
Just two episodes.
Okay. I think by that point this had happened. Like, the lady that's trying to, you know, that's new money and is trying to get everybody to accept her,
Yeah.
and somebody slighted her, and at the end of the episode she's just like in bed, like crazy-eyed, crying, and
Yeah.
like I was like, wow, this is a little silly, but these people are silly. That's probably how they really were.
Yeah, totally. Like, that's the kind of problem they have to imagine when they have no problems, right? I like that actor. She was on The Sinner, which is an amazing show. Yeah. Oh, you watched The Sinner? Oh, good. It's not that often that we have both seen a show, so I feel like we should celebrate that. I'm really glad that they figured out a way to keep The Sinner going after the first season, because it kind of seemed like it was just going to be a one and done.
Yeah, totally. No, it's good. I
Yeah.
enjoy it.
Yay. Let's see. Oh, my other official show recommendation is The Real World Homecoming, season three just started. It's the New Orleans season, and they did not all part on good terms, so it's been interesting. I'm only like two episodes into that too, but
Is that on Paramount Plus?
yeah.
Okay.
And the first season of that was the original New York cast, and it was good. The second season was the second season LA, and it was really, really good. So they're all worth watching so far, but it just keeps getting better, I think. I'm really terrified that they might someday do San Francisco. The reason that's terrifying is because Rachel from San Francisco is like a total Trump head now. So that would be absolutely terrifying to watch. So we'll see.
Man, that's crazy. Yeah, I should get. We're thinking about canceling our Netflix because,
Yeah.
Netflix.
Yeah.
And that will free us up to get another thing. So
Nice.
maybe it'll be Paramount Plus.
Yeah, there's a lot of good stuff on Paramount Plus. Although we obviously like it more than you, because that's like the official home of Star Trek now, so.
Oh, okay, yeah. Well, I was thinking about getting it at least for like, doing the whole thing where you get it for a month and you just binge watch what you
Yeah.
want to watch, because I've like been curious about the Real Worlds and then the Good Fight. But I was kind of gonna wait until maybe the season was totally done.
Yeah, that's
That
smart.
way I can just binge it.
So if you want, I can alert you when Real World Homecoming season three is done.
Okay, that sounds good.
Awesome. See, for those of you who don't know, we just really believe in like teamwork and being smart.
Teamwork
Spreadsheets.
makes the dream work.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's it for me, unless you have anything else, we can.
I do not.
All right.
All right, y'all.
All right. Until next time, I should have thought of something funny to say.
We need like a sign-off
Oh,
tagline or
totally.
something.
Oh, you know what that reminds me is? We stopped using our opening music.
Well, that's because it was on my old computer and I just didn't have, I was like totally not, didn't put in the effort to like get it on my new computer. And then the other day I saw somebody posted on social media like in like podcasts don't need a theme song. And I was like,
Yeah,
yeah,
it's
that made me
true.
feel better.
I would say maybe if we ever decide that we want one again, it could actually be an original Little Beards
Oh.
track. Because I could totally hear you singing like Melrose Shelter ring in place.
That
And you know, I could lay down a track too if you want.
sounds like a better deal than because like getting that little snippet of music and like putting it in and blah 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 was like such a pain in the butt. So
Yeah.
this sounds more fun.
Yeah, right on. So, give that a little thought. Maybe I'll sit down with the Melrose Place theme, because obviously we would want it to sound very similar, but not exact. Maybe I could come up with some lyrics beyond what I just sang. That could be fun.
I mean, no pressure.
Yeah. I mean, that's the kind of challenge I enjoy. And I have some time off coming up this week. So maybe that would be a good thing to do while I hang around with my puppy.
Yay.
All right, folks, thanks for joining us. Catch you next time.
Bye.
Bye.